when I think of an endless hallelujah to our King, I wonder how sometimes why He loved us so to make that a reality. And then I think of my brother Dave, how he has begun that endless hallelujah in the presence of the King. And I just wonder today, friends, if you're really ready, if today would be the last day, if you're really ready to begin that endless hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, Jim, I go to church. I'm glad that you do. But do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you surrendered to Him completely? Have you trusted Him as Master and Savior of your lives? Because if you have, it makes an eternal difference. And if you haven't, we're not ready to go home. We're not ready to start that endless hallelujah to the King. And so, may I encourage you today, friends, make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, your Messiah and your King. So when you close your eyes in death, the endless hallelujahs begin. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for loving us so much You sent Your Son. You sent Your Son to die in our place. You loved us so much, Father. Your Word says You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to know You and be ready for those endless hallelujahs. Thank You for Your grace that's available whenever we get around to trusting You, to saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to follow You. Yes, I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Yes, forgive me, Lord. Father, thank You for Your grace that keeps reaching out to us until we do. Thank You for saving my soul, Lord. Ours, Dave Bushel's, and so many more. So that when we close our eyes in death, we open them again to face Jesus and hear the words, well done. Father, thank You for what You've done in our midst right here in this little old town. Thank You for what You've done in this church and churches all around. Thank You for redeeming, forgiving, for transforming, for healing, for encouraging. Thank You, Father, for today. Looked forward to this day with praise in our hearts, joy in our hearts, because You have done great things. And so thank You for this dedication day. Thank You for what You're going to do today, tomorrow, the next, and the next generation, and the next until Jesus comes. Thank You, Father, for bringing Phyllis safely away from the captors. Thank You for comforting Diane, her children, and that family. Thank You for the example Dave was to us. Thank You, Father, for others here that You're comforting. They're hurting too for different reasons. Their loved ones are sick. They may be dying. They maybe have died. Father, thank You for comforting them too. Father, today continue to reach into our communities and into our homes and open the eyes of the blind. set the captives free. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Guide us the rest of this day as we continue to worship you and give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when you've got a headset on, it's really hard to wipe your nose. Today is a special day, amen? It really is. I know it's a hard day for some, but it's a special day. I just think of all the privileges and the outright fun and joy I've had being part of the church, the Motley Free Methodist Church and God's larger church, really. But I just think of all the fun times and the important days we've had here, and I've been blessed to have, and I just praise the Lord for today. This is Dedication Sunday, and I just praise the Lord for what He has done. Amen? It's what He has done. And I'm so thankful for each of you here today. I'm so thankful for our superintendent. I don't know that I haven't seen him. Brother Mark, are you here? No, okay, I want to introduce him. Is he here, Marie? Okay. I wanted to make sure I introduced him to all of you if he was here, in case some of you aren't staying for the dedication. Like I said, he had a late day in way southern Wisconsin yesterday. 6-7 hour drive to get here, and so he's not here with us yet. I hope you get to meet him yet today. He'll be here shortly. I just want to say I praise God for His faithfulness. I praise God for His goodness to us and what we've experienced these last few years here. It has been miraculous. Amen. It has been miraculous. I praise God for the miracles of redemption. How many know what I'm talking about? You praise God for your redemption? I hope so, brothers and sisters. I praise God for the miracles of transformation, because He's still in the transforming business. He's still in the redeeming business. I praise God for miracles of healing right here. No, not everybody gets healed on this side of glory. But God chooses to heal from time to time. Outright healings, we've seen them. I praise God for that. I praise God for the provision that He's provided to us. Has He not provided to us? I praise God for His divine protection over us. I praise Him for the miracle of this new building. I praise God for these things that He's blessed us with. Last week we looked at Psalm 146 and it said, praise the Lord. And today is another good day to praise the Lord. And in your Bibles in 2 Chronicles, there's another story of dedication. I'd invite you to turn to 2 Chronicles 5. I'm going to skim some through 2 Chronicles 5, 6, and 7 to be reminded of the Solomon Temple dedication. And I just want to encourage you to open up your Bibles or watch on the big screen, because it's there. This story is a long story. It's a good story. It's a God story. And I'm just going to touch the surface of it. But I'd encourage you to read 2 Chronicles 5, 6, and 7, because that's the dedication I'm talking about. You know the story, I think. David, King David, wanted to build a temple. And he started to gather the things together, and God told him, your son is the one that's going to build the temple. And so Solomon spends years doing it, and it's a magnificent place. And that's where we pick it up here in 2 Chronicles 5. Here's what it says. So the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the furnishings, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel. He brought them all together because they're going to have a dedication. They built this building to God and they're going to have a dedication. And so he called all the elders of Israel together and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel into Jerusalem, that they might bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is in Zion. And there's more there you can read, but let's jump to verse 11. Verse 11, they're assembled, they're gathered. And it came to pass, in verse 11, when the priest came out of the most holy place. Now verse 11 gets kind of extended out. Bear with me, I'm not going to read every word out of it. But in the last part of 12, it says they were clothed in white linen. They had cymbals, they had stringed instruments, they had harps, and with them 120 priests sounding the trumpets. And he's still going on now from what he said. And it came to pass, in 13 he says it again, indeed it came to pass, when these trumpeters and singers were as one to make sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. Let's try it together. For He is good, His mercy endures forever. And all this gathering was playing the 120 trumpets and playing their instruments and shouting out, for He is good. And then that, and it came to pass, continues on in the last part of 13, when it says that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Hallelujah. We've been praying for that, brothers and sisters, for years, and particularly these last months, that the glory of God would fill the house, so that when people come into the house of God, this one in churches everywhere, but this one just happens to be brand new, that they would experience the living God. Because when people get into the presence of God, miracles happen. Amen? Miracles of redemption and transformation and revival. And we've been praying for a long time that when we get this church built and we come together to worship or do Bible studies or men's group or women's group or funerals or weddings or anything else, that the presence of God would fill the house. And that day it says the presence of God filled the house so much so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. And I still pray that and say that we should continue to pray that every time somebody has come to the place to worship, that the glory of God would fill the house. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I've got to move on. Time's running out. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said He would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king, that's Solomon, turned around and he blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, he had them all standing now, hundreds, perhaps thousands gathered around. And he had them all standing. And Solomon said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with His hands what He spoke with His mouth to my father David. And Solomon gives God glory. Yes, it was at Solomon's instruction. Yes, it was the hands of many workers. Yes, when this all come together, it was out of your generosity and your prayers and the blood and the sweat of people that build it. But it is at the hand of God that we were able to build this building. It was at the hand of God that Solomon built that temple. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has fulfilled it with His hands. And I would suggest to us today, friends, we have what we have because of God's goodness. We have what we have because He has fulfilled it with His hands. I say glory to God. And thank you for your prayers and your generosity and your gifts and your tithes and your offerings and your skills and putting it all together. But I thank God because it is He who has fulfilled it with His hands. And then in the beginning of verse 12 in chapter 6, all the way through verse 42, it is the prayer of Solomon. It is a good prayer. If you've never read it, read it yet today. During the prayer, Solomon brings up all kinds of scenarios. The what if we sin and when we sin scenarios. He brings up all kinds. And over, Solomon asks God this phrase, hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive. And I want to show you a couple of examples here. I'm not going to read it all to you. You can read it later. But I want to show you two examples. One comes from verse 26. Here's what Solomon was praying. Verse 26. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they, that's the people of God, by the way, when they have sinned against you, when they pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land which you have given to your people as an inheritance. I just want to emphasize this couple of verses for one reason. There may come a time when His people, even today, me, you, or the next generation that fills this house to worship, may have occasion to sin. You know what I'm saying? May happen. With the blessings that we enjoy in this greatest nation of on earth and the blessing that we enjoy of a brand new church, it is even possible that pride would set in. And may we use this example to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek His face and to repent and call upon Him again and again and again if sin should enter the house. May we never, in our generation or the next until Jesus comes, be so righteous in our own eyes that we cannot repent. May we never be holier than thou, too holy to seek the face of God, too holy to think we need to repent. May we always be humble enough to get along with brothers and sisters in Christ all over and be humble enough when we need to repent. Verse 32. Moreover, concerning a foreigner, This is an interesting part of his prayer. Listen to it, friends. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people of Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. Now listen, he's praying to God. He's praying to God about the stranger, the alien, the foreigner. When they come and pray in this place, then hear. You see what he's saying? Hear them, Father. Hear them, Lord. When the stranger comes to the house, then when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which this foreigner calls you to do. Why would he pray that? Listen. That all people of the earth may know your name and fear you. That's why. As do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. You see what Solomon says here? He's already asking God to hear and respond to the foreigner, to the stranger, to those that are other than the Jewish race, the children of Israel. He's crying out to God, hear their prayers too. I say hallelujah. You know why? We were all foreigners. Can I get a witness? We were all foreigners. We were all outside the family of God at one point. Remember the verse we teach our Awana kids? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all foreigners. We probably aren't too many of us even Jews here today. We were all needing to be grafted in. And Solomon is praying here, 900 plus years B.C., do according to all for which the foreigner calls on you. Why? So that the people of earth may know who you are, Almighty God. We were foreigners, and God heard us when we cried out. We were lost, and some may still be in our families. Some may still be in our churches. Some may be lost yet in churches today. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying that Jesus has provided us a way to be found. And if we're still not found, we are lost. We are still on the broad road that leads to destruction. We're not yet on the narrow road that leads to the kingdom of God. And he prayed that day, God in heaven, do according to what the foreigner calls on you. And we were foreigners too until we got right with Jesus. And I know we can argue and rationalize, well, yeah, but preacher, I've always been church and I've always been a Christian and this, that, and the other thing. But we haven't been part of the family of God until we have been born into the kingdom, until we have been born again, like Jesus said. And then we are no longer foreigners to His kingdom. And so I'm thankful that day that Solomon prayed for the foreigners, because I was a foreigner too, who needed to be found by Jesus and surrendered to Him. And so were all of us, and some may still be. We were foreigners to the body of Christ, and God heard us and set us free. I say hallelujah. May we never, in this church, and in the larger church even, may we never be so inwardly focused that we forget God is still looking to redeem the foreigner. Are you hearing me? May we never be so inwardly focused and self-centered and perhaps even self-righteous. Oh, they don't look like us. Oh, they don't talk like us. Oh, they don't dress like us. May we never be so inwardly focused here in this building and in the church of God until Jesus comes, to remember that He's still looking for the stranger and the alien and the foreigner to come to Christ. And may that happen here thousands of times until Jesus comes. May we never forget in this place that God is in the redeeming business, regardless of skin color, regardless of our status with the government, regardless of how much sin there has been in my life, because that's why Jesus went to the cross. God still wants to redeem, and may we never stop praying at Motley Free Methodist and the larger church for the redemption of souls into the kingdom. May we never stop. Second Chronicles 7, couple verses to close. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wish we could have a little display of that. Little display right outside here, maybe even inside. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and licked up the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord once again filled the house. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, and they worshipped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, His mercy endures forever." When the glory of God showed up that day, their faces were right on the pavement. When the glory of God filled the house that day, transformation happened. And when we invite Christ into our lives, transformation begins to happen. When we allow God to be God in our assembly, transformation happens. Amen? The time change has really got you down today, doesn't it? He is in the redeeming business, brothers and sisters. Let us never be a club that meets together to check it off the list for the week. Until Jesus comes with the next pastor and the next board and the next leaders and the next church and the next generation, until Jesus comes, may we glorify His name and point people to Christ until Jesus comes here. That's why we exist. To bring God glory. To point people to the cross at Calvary. To be born again. To be redeemed. May we never forget that here. Some of these children around here will be pastors and missionaries and evangelists and praise team leaders and prayer warriors and tithers and businessmen and women and leaders in the church. May they carry the torch and the baton until Jesus comes to bring glory to God. And every now and then, as life would have it, some of us will die. And the rest of us will be saddened all over again, but only for a little while. Because when we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's only for a little while. Until we go home to meet Jesus and our loved ones who have gone on before. And so, pray for the Busho family. Tomorrow we will remember Dave and celebrate his home going. And they have given you permission to, you can wear jeans. They've given me permission to wear jeans. I might. Death doesn't have the last word when you know Jesus, brothers and sisters. Amen? Jesus has been victorious over death, over the grave, and over the enemy. Death doesn't have the last word. Jesus gets it when He says, "Welcome home." And He'll say it to each and every one of us someday. If we know Him, and if we don't, we'll never hear those words. Brothers and sisters, don't wait if you're not born again. Get right with God today. Jess, let's sing this last song. I love this last song. Sing it like you mean it, brothers and sisters. And can it be? Verse 3, I think it is, talks about the chains fall off, the dungeon gets bright, and all of a sudden it's a new day because I have met with Jesus. I have met Him. I have encountered Him face to face. I have been born again. So let's sing this song like we mean it this morning, friends. And if you're not sure that you know, while we're singing it, if you don't know that you know, if today was the last day you'd go home to be with Jesus, come pray with one of these pastors today and get right with God through faith in Christ. Let's stand together and sing, "And Can It Be?" Almighty God, we praise You. We worship You. We love You. We need You. We thank You today for Your goodness, Your provision. We thank You, Father God, that You have, to everyone that comes, set us free. Our chains have fallen off. We rose, have gone forth to follow Thee. Thank You, Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life. Thank You for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the hope of heaven. Thank You, Father. This isn't all there is. You have prepared so much more. If only we'll trust You and surrender to You and follow Thee. Help us, Father, to come to that place if we never have. To surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To admit we are, in fact, a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And invite You to come into our life and take over. Father God, renew us. Transform us. Redeem us. Comfort us. Heal us. Glorify Your name. Thank You for the food that has been prepared and placed before us. Blessed to our bodies. Walk with each of us, Father, especially those that have lost their loved ones this last week and lately. Comfort them, Father, and guide each and every one of us to a closeness to You that is transformational and real. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.